Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In the Now podcast channel. Joining us once again for the conversation, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, thank you for dropping by the podcast here on a Thursday morning. Welcome back and looking forward to our conversation this week.
Thanks, Dan. Good to be back with you.
So, Shane, there's a few items I want to bring our listeners up to speed on for this week, really surrounding some developments as it relates to U.S.-China relations, which we've covered a bunch here on the podcast over the years. It was interesting this week we did see Presidents Biden and Xi Jinping of China meet. This was an over-the-phone meeting. Our listeners might recall a few months back, both met in person in San Francisco, California. So, of course, there's no shortage of topics to cover. Though I'm curious if you have a sense for any takeaways, highlights from this week's phone meeting.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it's important to note, as you did, that, you know, the last time they spoke it was in person last time was last year. And when they did meet last year after, you know, tensions had been, frayed for a period of time, they agreed to try and bring back a more regular dialogue, even if it wasn't in person, just, you know, more regular phone calls. So this was the start of that, and the first time since they agreed to have these more regular, you know, conversations to try and avoid, you know, misunderstandings. So, you know, a small positive step. They spoke for almost 2 hours. I think it was about an hour 45. And they obviously, in that amount of time, you're going to cover a number of topics. You know, high tech was a big topic. Obviously, Taiwan is always notable. You know, the wars in Ukraine, Israel, I believe, were covered. But you know, I think, you know, one of my takeaways was, you know, small spot positive steps. But of course, both sides recognize that, you know, these nice phone calls need to be followed up with real concrete action. So, you know, this is a check-in, and I think both sides are going to see, you know, what they did agree upon in the phone call. You know, are there solid steps afterwards that are actionable, that you know, build upon the relationship? You know, obviously there's still disagreement on a number of issues, but I think there was some, you know, progress made by having this call, but we'll see if that actually translates into real progress and, you know, steadying the relationship between the U.S. and China.
It's encouraging to see that dialogue continues. Now, historically speaking, a point of interest has been trade, as our listeners might recall from years back, specific to tariffs on China. I'm curious, what is the Biden administration weighing at the moment, and when might we have some clarity on the timing of any implementation if that were to occur?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's first important to take a step back and think about, you know, President Biden has not really deviated from former President Trump's tariffs on China. You know, he has kind of held their feet to the fire to some extent. And recently, President Biden's trade ambassador, you know, kind of made a comment that, you know, the tariffs are an effective and important tool in their toolkit for, you know, trade disputes, but also, you know, negotiations. So, you know, I think the Biden administration is currently looking to keep tariffs in place, but is also exploring, you know, what to do in a few areas. You know, one, high tech. I think there's a lot of concern about trying to flood the market. You know, one example is drones. Most of our not only commercial but hobby drones in the U.S. come from China. Another, I think, area that the Biden administration is strongly looking into tariffs on is electric vehicles. You know, the Chinese market for electric vehicles is really starting to grow, and I think looking to, you know, export into the U.S. So it could be stiff, cheap competition to some of the electric vehicles produced in the U.S. So a lot going on here, but, you know, I don't think we should look at it as a reversal from, you know, what former President Trump's policies were on tariffs at all. I think it's, you know, building upon those policies.
So sticking with China, as Presidents Biden and Xi Jinping spoke over the phone this week, we did see that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen had actually embarked on her second trip to Beijing, this in less than a year. So what was the premise of this visit by the Treasury Secretary?
Yeah, she's scheduled to make two stops in China, Beijing, and I think Guangzhou. And she'll be meeting with a variety of people there, you know, economists, the business community, obviously, and I think, you know, students as well. You know, obviously the topics of trade will be brought up. While she's not the trade ambassador, it is kind of important for the Treasury Secretary to be involved in those conversations. But I think she's going to follow up on some of President Biden's concerns that he expressed to Prime Minister Xi, you know, most notably overcapacity of China's goods on the marketplace and what that could mean to the global economy. So, you know, I think, again, you know, another small positive that, you know, President Biden's conversation was timed right before Treasury Secretary Yellen's visit to China. So, you know, a little bit of diplomacy outreach here concentrated on China by the Biden administration, and we'll see how it plays out.
So sticking with geopolitics, though, moving over to Ukraine, we have been tracking negotiations up on Capitol Hill, this surrounding an aid package for Ukraine. And it does appear that Speaker Mike Johnson is working towards a bipartisan compromise. This, of course, has been met with some controversy up on the Hill, though. Any indication, Shane, as to where those negotiations stand and perhaps any potential next steps on legislation?
Yeah, no. Here in D.C., everyone is trying to figure out how next week is going to play out because this is very fluid. You're seeing some sparring between, you know, those who strongly oppose aid to Ukraine, most notably Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, and, you know, Speaker Johnson trying to navigate, you know, majority of the House of Representatives, both Democrats and Republicans, who do support aid to Ukraine. So he's working on different options, you know, that do not look like the Senate approved package. You know, he's looking at maybe loans and more having the aid more directly focused on lethal aid versus humanitarian needs. So as he's doing that, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene filed a motion to vacate, I think, as we may have discussed, right before they departed for the Easter recess. And so we're going to see what she does when she gets back. Does she actually try and force a vote on vacating the chair, which could, in theory, kick Speaker Johnson out of his speakership, just like what happened to Speaker McCarthy last year? You know, so we're back in the territory of uncharted waters next week, and it's going to be pretty fluid. You know, my gut at this moment is that Speaker Johnson survives and there is some kind of an aid package to Ukraine. But like I said, it's going to be a fluid week, and, you know, we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep our listeners, our clients informed along the way, something we can catch up on when we speak next week. Though, Shane, thank you very much, as always, for dropping by, keeping our listeners, our clients informed on a range of timely topics here at home as well as around the globe. And do look forward to picking back up with our conversation again soon.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been speaking with Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Before we close out, I do want to point out to our listeners and clients that you may now locate the latest Washington Weekly publication available for you up on ubs.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.